You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, March 7th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The No Mores in Heaven.
Back in your Bible with me this morning, please, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm going to read it for clarity's sake. The Bible says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Think about some of the things that's going to take place or that has taken place in your life here on earth that will not take place ever again when you reach heaven. We're going to talk about this morning, no mores in heaven. There are some things that will be no more in heaven that is on earth. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says to be absent from the body. That means that death is to be present for the Lord, with the Lord. Now the Bible says to be present with the Lord. That's talking about that person that's saved, once you take your last step here, your next step will be in heaven. All right. And so you can be excited about the fact this morning that if God gave you everlasting life through his son, it's not something that God gives today and takes back tomorrow. But rather, when Jesus Christ shed his blood, he did that for everyone. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal savior, that blood is applied to you. Are you listening? And he gives you eternal life. And that eternal life is from that day you receive Jesus Christ forever. More. Now, I'm glad about that. Last Sunday, we talked about there's more to salvation than just eternal life. Now, let's look at the benefit on the other side. I mean, I'm excited about all the things I get when I get saved. I'm excited about everything I talked about last Sunday. I'm excited that it comes as a packet. I'm excited that God gives us those things. But what's going to take place when you get to heaven? What are some of the things that you're going to miss, but not really, when you get to heaven? Let's notice some things. Statement number one, there's no more death in heaven. No more death in heaven. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, look at this in verse 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away, it says, all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, they are born again, washed in the blood, and God gives them eternal life. For a lost person, when a lost person dies without Jesus Christ, and by the way, let's not be confused about this thing. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Doesn't say he that hath baptism. Doesn't say he that hath a good countenance. Doesn't say he that hath church membership. Does not say he that keepeth the Ten Commandments or he that keepeth the seven sacraments. Oh, no. There's only one way to have everlasting life, and that is in Jesus Christ. Now, you either have Jesus Christ or you don't. You either have everlasting life or you don't. Somebody says, well, I make a decision for Jesus Christ every day of my life. You don't have to make a decision for Jesus Christ every day. The Bible says that you must be born again. It does not say you must be born again and again and again and again. It's not a perpetual state of being. It is a one time forevermore. Now, listen, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior and God gives them everlasting life, when they face death, it is just a step. That's all it is. It's like stepping into an airplane. It's like stepping into a store. It's like stepping on the sidewalk. It's just another step. So when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior and they die, here's what the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory, if you would please, in the grave, but for the Christian, we have victory over the grave. Do you understand that when you die, your body goes to the grave, but those that are saved, your soul goes to heaven and it goes to be with the Lord forevermore. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to take and say, well, I tell you what, I've got cancer. I've got heart problems, or I've got this difficulty. And what if I die? But if you die with Jesus Christ, are you listening to me? You're going to be better off because heaven is your gain. You don't have to worry about facing death with agony. The Bible says there's but a step between life and death. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, it is taken care of forever. You know, the first time I ever experienced seeing somebody that was dead when I was 8 years of age. Now, back in those days, when I was 8 years of age, the viewing took place inside of the home. And what they would do is they would bring the body of the deceased and they would bring it to the relative's house. And many times the body would lay in state all night long and it would be in the living room or someplace like that. And I remember my aunt saying, Mike, would you sit up tonight? And I thought, sure, I sit up a lot. I didn't know that she was saying, would you sit up with the body? And so when I was 8 years of age, they put me in the room with one of my great uncles, and I was supposed to sit up with the body. I don't know if you've ever done that before. But as an eight-year-old boy, I kept staring at that body. And I'm telling you, it breathed. And I was looking at that body, and I was afraid to go over to it. But I just kept seeing something elevate up, and I knew it was the chest. I just knew it was the chest. And all of a sudden, this dead man is coming alive. And it scared me to death. Say, what did you do? I went and slept in the kitchen is what I did. But for those that are saved, look, once you're saved forever. I feel sorry for people that go to churches this morning and they got a preacher up there that doesn't know the Bible. He gets up there and he says, you have to work your way to heaven. He says, you've got to do this or keep this or be this in order to obtain. My Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You get saved when you receive Jesus Christ. It is done forever. Oh, wait a minute, though. There is no more death for the saved person. I remember when I was 9 years of age, I saw my pop. He was my grandfather. My dad had the idea that when we moved over outside of Hampstead, Maryland, that we would buy up as much property as we could. And so we moved over outside of Hampstead, Maryland, and we bought up a lot of property. Well, he had dad, my dad had pop, his dad, my grandpa, would come and he built him a house next door. And I remember when I was 9 years of age, I was out back playing around the swing set, and I looked over and pop had fallen off of the John Deere tractor. Well, I didn't know what to do. I was only nine. I ran over to Pop, and his face was turning purple. He was having a heart attack. I didn't know that. And at the age of nine, my grandfather died in my lap. Now, my granddad was not saved. I remember as a young man how my granddad would boast on the fact that, hey, when a preacher comes by my house, they're not going to stay. I promise you, the shotgun's coming out. And I remember him boasting on the fact of chasing preachers off with shotguns. You know, all the days of my life, I think about Pop burning in hell. Now, may I say, look, for that person that is saved, we don't have to worry about that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't be confused about the matter. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. But for that person that sits here this morning, and that person that's trusting works, and that person that's trusting baptism, and that person that's trusting church membership, and that person that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior, listen, take the warning this morning. It's through Christ. It's not through anybody else. It's not through anything else but Christ and Christ alone. But did you know when you and I go to heaven, we face no more death? Statement number one. Statement number two, we face no more sorrow. The Bible says in Job that man is born of a woman. It says few of days and full of trouble. Now, wait a minute. So the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 again, the Bible says that God shall wipe away, it says, all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and it says, neither sorrow. So when you get to heaven, there is going to be a day when God wipes away the tears. Now, by the way, God will allow, I do believe this, that this is after the white throne judgment. I believe that at the white throne judgment, where the dead that are not saved are brought up and they're judged. I believe you're going to see that judgment. I believe that you're going to witness that. And after that time, God is going to wipe away the tears. But now, wait a minute. There will be a day when God wipes away all the tears. And so in heaven, there will be a day when there is no more sorrow. Hey, can you understand this morning? I believe that the Bible says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that's people that's been saved that has preceded you in death. I believe they're looking over the portals of glory. You got a grandma looking over the portals of glory right now saying, listen to that preacher. He's telling you how to be saved. Listen to that preacher. He's telling you how to live. Listen to that man of God. He's trying to point you the right to. I believe that you've got people in heaven right now that's looking over the portals of glory, and they're chanting and they're praying and they're hoping and they're dreaming and they're speaking, and they want us to live right. They want us, those that are not saved, to be saved, those that are saved to live right. I believe that we're compassed about with so. I think my mom and daddy's looking this morning. I think my mom and daddy that's in heaven has the ability to look over and say, ho ho, that's my boy. Ho ho, I'm watching him. Hello. You think that when your mom and daddy die, if they're saved, that you can do whatever you want to and they're not going to see it? I've got news for you. They're still watching you. Come on. I was watching a little boy the other day, and he's out by the water fountain. And boy, he put his finger up his nose. Hello? He pulled something out of there. I'm not going to say what. He looked to the right. He looked to the left. I'm not saying no more. All right, now wait a minute. Did you know in heaven there's no more death? In heaven there is no more sorrow. You know, we don't have to be someone that's going to walk around and say, boy, I tell you, that's a sorrowful thing. Had a friend of mine that died when he was 17 years of age and he had leukemia. His brother took it hard. For weeks I watched this brother walk around. We were in high school together. For weeks I watched this brother walk around, and you could tell something wasn't right. His countenance had fallen. And one day he didn't show up for high school. And I thought, he was on the farm next to us, or where I used to live. And so I thought, what in the world's happened to him? Where's he at? Next day he didn't show up for high school. Now, I didn't know him well, but I thought, I've always seen him in class. Where's he at? Then I found out he was so depressed that he hung himself in the barn. Now wait a minute. Listen to me. Did you know his parents suffered sorrow when the son was taken with leukemia? But his parents suffered an additional sorrow when all of a sudden that boy went out and hung himself. But in heaven, there is no more sorrow. Listen to it. Statement number one, I said that there's no more death. Statement number two, no more sorrow. Look at it again. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, the Bible says, God shall wipe away, it says, all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, watch this, nor crying. So there's not going to be not just the tears wiped away, but after that, no more crying. There's not going to be a reason to cry. Joshua, I was preaching in seminary, Mississippi, and I was preaching a revival conference, and Joshua decided he would help the pastor. The pastor, we were staying at his house, and Brother McInner, just a fantastic pastor. And so we were staying at the house, and Joshua thought, there's all these things that's growing up, all these weeds, and Josh knows how to run the heavy-duty equipment and stuff like that. And so he can jump on a tractor and run that thing or all that stuff. And so he decided, I'm going to be a blessing to the pastor. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to jump on the tractor, and I'm going to mow all this acreage. And I'm going to be a blessing to the pastor. We got out there, and the battery terminals were corroded. So it wouldn't start. So he calls me up, and he said, Dad, can you come help? He said, would it be okay if you come out and help me get these things off? And so I got a hammer, and I got a screwdriver, and we went out there. We started hammering that thing up, got the battery terminals loose. And it wasn't all the way off. And so Josh said, I'll get it from now on. And so he knew I had stuff to do. So I went in the house, and still things were not right. And so he's hammering and hammering and whacking that thing and whacking that thing. And when he whacked that thing, the screwdriver went through, almost completely through his thumb. That's how I felt. I mean, blood is not just kind of sprinkling out. It's kind of like, you know, it's squirt. It was bad. He's got a white shirt on. Blood's filling his shirt. He comes in and he says, "Dad." Now he's walking casually across the lawn. Come on. I mean, here's a kid bleeding to death. He comes walking in the house. He says, "Dad, I think I got a problem." I said, "Well, let me see your thumb." He said, "Well, I think it's pretty bad." And so I looked at his thumb and I could open it. That's how I felt. I could open it. And I thought, man, this is not good. So I asked Mrs. McIntyre, the pastor's wife, I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Well, I think you probably need to get him to the doctor." I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, this is not going to be really bad, but we got to stitch it." And so, I mean, are you listening to me? I almost wanted to cry. Man, I'm sitting there, and the doctor, I mean, I wanted to see how they do it. I didn't know that they use fish hooks. You know, and I'm watching this, and he puts the thread on there, and he gives Josh an injection, and he starts to work through that thumb, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, "Oh, ow, oh," and Josh is sitting there saying, "Wow, wow." I thought, the guy's a nut. He's my son, but he's a nut. Now, wait a minute. Did you know this? Did you know that in heaven, there's no more death? In heaven, there's no more sorrow. In heaven, there's no more crying. Statement number 4. Think about this. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea." The word sea is talking about a tumultuous time. It's talking about a time of distraction. It's talking about a time of agony. It's talking about when you go out to the ship, if you would, and you get on the ship and you're in the middle of the water, and all of a sudden the waves begin to gush and hitting one side and hitting the other side, and you might lose control from time to time. That's what it's talking about. Hey, in heaven, there is no more troubled times. In heaven, there's no more times of temptation. Hey, listen, you know, in heaven, there's not going to be any more bad music. Did you know in heaven there's not going to be any drugs? Come on. Did you know in heaven there's not going to be any type of bad movies? Did you know in heaven there's not going to be any smoking, dipping, chewing? Hey, did you know in heaven everybody's going to walk right, talk right, dress right, be right? Hey, it's going to be a perfect place in heaven. Oh, watch this morning. The Bible says there's not going to be any more sea in heaven. There's not going to be any more tumultuous times. My children, when we go to amusement parks and they have the rides, they always say, "Dad, let's get on the ride." And some of those rides, and I'm a man of a man, but I don't like them. We got on a ride. I was taking my kids to an amusement park, and we got on this ride, and it started going like this. And that's okay, because we're sitting in the ride like decent people. But it always makes you wonder what's going to happen when they buckle you in from the shoulders down, and they say, "Make sure it's tight." We got on that ride, and it started going this way. And I thought, hey, this is okay. I can handle this. This is all right. Then all of a sudden, we started going up an incline. Our backs are towards the ground, and we're going straight up. I thought, this is neat. Look at the sky. Man, this is wonderful. Then we got up on the top, and I looked out, and there was no more track. And I thought, this might not be good. Got a bunch of crazy kids behind me saying, "Yes, put your hands up." And I'm thinking, dear God, no. Man, I grabbed that harness, and I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. And all of a sudden, we shot out over that thing, and we went straight down, and all these kids, they're yelling in the back, "Yay!" And I'm saying, "Help!" You know what that was in my life? That was a sea. Some people like to go through the sea over and over again. We got off the ride, we walked outside, and they said, "Hey, let's do it again." I said, "You're nuts. Your mother needs comfort. I'm leaving to go comfort her." But did you know that sometimes people go through the sea, and here's what they want to do, Dr. Allen. They want to go through the sea over and over again. I can't understand that. They say, "Boy, I've been to church. It was good. God spoke to my heart. But I'll tell you what, next week I'm going to skip church. I'm going to skip God. I know that God answered prayer when I prayed, but I'm not going to pray again for a long time." Hey, what they do? They just decide, "I'm going to go through my own personal sea over and over." Look, it's about time you just decide you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. You just decide living for God, that's the right thing. Stop going through your sea. Statement number one, here's what we see. No more death in heaven. No more sorrow in heaven. Statement number two. Statement number three, no more crying in heaven. Statement number four, no more sea in heaven. Oh, you're going to like this one. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 22 verse 4. You're going to like this one. Look at it. Revelation chapter 22 verse 4. The Bible says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Now think about what it's talking about here. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. The name on the forehead, they shall see his face. There's no more curse. You belong to him. He has said, "You are mine." You'll never face the curse of that which is sin. Ever again. By the way, once you get saved, you never face the curse of that which is eternal damnation ever again. So what takes place here? Here's what we see. There's no more sea, but there's no more curse. Let me give you one more and I'll close. Look at verse 5, Revelation chapter 22 this time. Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And there shall be no more night there." It says they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Listen to it. "And they shall reign forever and ever." No more night. When I was a little boy, I grew up on a farm in Millers, Maryland until I was 6 years of age. Beautiful farm. 280 acres. We had horses. We had cattle. We had 1,000 chickens. We had hogs. We had 2 sows. Beautiful farm. I mean, I just had it made coming up on the farm. We lived in a 2-story farmhouse. We had a wood stove downstairs. That's where Mrs. Wagner did the cooking. We had no heat upstairs whatsoever. And so when you went to the second story, if it was in the wintertime, you just put on as many quilts as you possibly could. And you crawled up underneath those quilts. Now, I didn't understand it. Don't understand it today. But Mrs. Wagner slept in one room, and Paul slept in the other room. But I did understand this. As I slept in the same room in a cot over in the corner, distant from Paul, and as a little boy, I would say, "I'm scared. It's dark in here." And of course, I'd say it with a different tone and with different enthusiasm. And I'd say, "It's dark in here. I'm scared." Paul would always say this, "Come climb in bed with me. It'll be okay." Now, I knew what he was going to do. That's how come every night I said, "It's dark in here. I'm scared." Because every night I knew that Paul was going to say, "Come climb in bed with me. It'll be okay." So every night I got to climb in bed with Paul. And I'd go over there and sleep beside Paul, adopted grandfather. And so I do that every night. Now, one night I was really scared. I climbed in bed and I don't know what happened, but I was frightened in my heart. And I was only six. And so I said to Paul, I said, "Are you looking at me?" He said, "Well, yes, I'm looking at you." I said, "Would you look at me until I go to sleep?" He said, "Well, why do you want me to look at you till you go to sleep?" I said, "Because if you're looking at me until I go to sleep, I'm sure nobody will get me. But would you look at me?" And I'd ask him over and over, "Are you looking at me?" I knew I annoyed him. "Are you looking at me? Are you still looking at me?" I'm surprised he didn't hit me over the head. But I asked him over and over, are you looking at me? He was very patient. He's very kind. He's very understanding. He would say, yes, Mike, I love you. I'm looking at you. It's okay. Go to sleep. And he would say that so many times that comfort came. Did you know that in heaven, here's what the Bible teaches, in heaven, there's no more death. In heaven, no more sorrow. In heaven, no more crying. In heaven, no more sea. In heaven, no more curse. In heaven, no more night. No darkness there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, the Bible says, in the city hath no need of the sun, says neither of the moon, to shine in the glory of God. Listen to it now. It says, to shine in. It says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp, it says, is a light thereof. All right, so God says, look, there's no reason for the sun. There's no reason for the moon. There's no reason. Look, the presence of God will be the light. Amen. Listen, do we understand that in heaven there is no more night? I don't know about you, but now, by the way, I'm not scared of the dark anymore, and I'm okay. But did you know sometimes late at night when it's real dark, you have a hard time seeing to get around. We have dear people, it's here this morning, that have gotten a little bit older, and they have trouble seeing at night. But did you know in heaven, there's no more trouble with that? Come on. Have you ever run over something and said, oops, I didn't see that? Have you ever done that? I've done that. Have you ever backed over something and said, oops, I didn't see that? Have you ever run into a car and say, oops, I didn't see that? Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket and said, okay, well, now we're meddling. But all right, but listen now. In heaven, there is no more night. Now, you can thank God this morning if you're saved. But if you're not saved this morning, that's why we're here for you.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.